Merry Christmas. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, and what better place to be than on a couple of days before the day we celebrate as Christ's birthday. Welcome. We're delighted to have you here, and I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. Our text this morning comes from Luke, the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or in one in front of you in the pew rack as I read Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch, which just means leader or ruler, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonius and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Many of you, I believe, will agree that December is the craziest month of the year. If someone from another world were to come down to earth during December and observe us during this period, I think they would conclude that we have completely lost our minds. Well, why is December so crazy? It's because we are preparing. As the dad balances precariously on the ladder, trying to hang the icicle lights just right, he is preparing. As men and women go to the malls, some aggressively, they are preparing. And as houses become filled with the smell of cookies and the sounds of old nostalgic songs of chestnuts and winter wonderland, they are preparing. And what is the reason for all this preparation? Well, most of us can guess that it is, of course, because Christmas will be here soon. As regards the church calendar, we are also in a season of preparation called Advent. As you are aware, as I mentioned, this is as John Wayne mentioned, this is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and you observe me lighting the Advent candle, the Christ candle, a few moments ago. Now, Advent is a Latin word meaning arrival or approach. It is the time of the year when we are aware of the arrival of the birth of Jesus, or the coming of Jesus. And we have been preparing through our Advent Sundays to celebrate Jesus' first arrival on earth as evidenced by his quiet, humble birth in Bethlehem. Yet we are also preparing for Jesus' second arrival, when he shall come to earth again in all his majesty with the loud trumpet call of God on Judgment Day. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we perform all types of physical tasks to prepare for the Christmas holiday. And likewise, we need to perform spiritual tasks to prepare ourselves for Christ. It's easy to prepare for the holiday of Christmas if we but observe those around us and see what they're doing. Decorating trees, putting up lights, putting candles in the windows, shopping, buying presents, wrapping them. We can pretty much figure out how to celebrate the holiday of Christmas. But how do we prepare for the second coming of Jesus? It's a mystery for many people, and I hope you observe the title of our sermon today. We may be ready for Christmas, but are we ready for Christ? It reflects the attitude and feelings of many people, including many who are here today with us. You may be ready for Christmas, but are you ready for Christ? And there is someone who teaches us how to prepare for the second coming of Christ. He taught how to prepare for the first arrival of Christ here on this earth. It's not Rudolph. It's not Frosty. It's not Santa. It's John the Baptist. Now, he isn't called John the Baptist because he founded the Christian church, the Baptist church or the Baptist faith. He conducted services by the Jordan in the desert. No chairs or pews to sit in. No heat in the cold of the late afternoon and early evening. No air conditioning for the heat of the day. But John's message was very important. If we look at our text again at verse 3, we read, "He," meaning John, "went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin." John was called the Baptist because he preached and encouraged people to repent of their sins and be baptized. This ministry was not John's idea. It was his destiny. It was God's plan for John. John was talked about hundreds of years before he lived, as we read in verse 4, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John had been called by God to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. And at this point in time, Jesus was preparing to begin his public ministry. So John wanted to prepare the people for such ministry, and he did so by teaching the people to repent. Well, what does repent mean? I think most of us know or have a general idea, but it means to make a U-turn, to change direction. John was instructing the people to change the direction of their lives. They were heading one way away from Jesus. He says, make a U-turn and go back toward Jesus, preparing yourself to serve him. He is the Messiah. This is how you prepare for Jesus. Repent of your sins. Think of repentance in this way. First you identify, and then you do the opposite. You identify what are your weaknesses, what are your sins, and then you act quite differently. To do this identification process, you need to have some quiet time to meditate. You can't do it listening to the TV, the radio in the car, reading emails on the internet. You need to take a break from the shopping and all the hustle and bustle of life and just sit and think about the shortcomings, the weaknesses in your life. What is your sin? What is your weakness? Are you materialistic? Do you like to be surrounded by stuff? Are you selfish? Do you have impure and immoral thoughts? Do you say things about others that you know you should not say? Are you impatient with others? Identify these sins. And then you have accomplished the first step on the road to repentance. The second step is doing the opposite of your weaknesses. Instead of being materialistic, be spiritual. Instead of being selfish, be generous. Instead of being immoral, strive to be pure in your thoughts and in your actions. Do the opposite. Change the direction in which you are heading. Make a U-turn and head back to Jesus. Such is repentance. But I have not mentioned the most important ingredient you will eventually need for repentance. Without it, you will never successfully change your life. You may try and may be successful for a while, but without this most important ingredient, you will eventually fall back into old habits, into old actions, into old sins, if you will. It's like someone who goes on a crash diet and quickly loses a ton of weight and then gains it all back because they didn't have the support system they needed. Do you know the most important ingredient in repentance? I think we all do, and that is Jesus. Without Jesus, true repentance is impossible. We will never change, but with Jesus, anything is possible. After you identify your sins, take them to Jesus. Take them to the foot of the cross. Kneel down. Drop on your knees and confess your sins to Jesus. I wonder how many of us have actually dropped down on our knees and said, "Lord, I am a sinner. These are my sins. Please forgive me." I don't care if you're a pastor, a deacon, a choir member, a Sunday school teacher, a committee member. If you have not done that, if you have not confessed your sins in a true and open and honest conversation with God and said, "Lord, forgive me," then you haven't repented of those sins, in my opinion. But once you do that, you can rejoice because Jesus will forgive all your sins. As we know, the slate will be wiped clean. The page on the book will be blank. We get a second chance. How many second chances do we get in life? Sure, we get opportunities to try again. But I know of no instance where the slate is wiped totally clean and no one remembers it except us. God doesn't remember it. He forgives and forgets. When you have taken these steps, you will experience true Christian joy. As Jesus forgives you, He will give you strength. If you want to make changes in your life, Jesus will help you. We read in the 4th chapter of Philippians, "I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." If we want to stop being materialistic and instead be more spiritual, Jesus will give us the strength to do so. If we want to stop being selfish and instead be generous, Jesus will strengthen us in our resolve. If we want to stop being immoral in our thoughts and be pure, Jesus will help us. And if we desire to be more loving, patient, and kind, confess your sins to Jesus. Allow Him to forgive you. And as Jesus forgives you, He will strengthen you to be a brand new person. And what better gift could we have at Christmas than to be a new person, than to start on the path of a new journey in our life? Such is the repentance about which John the Baptist was talking in the desert. John pointed the people to Jesus. As he said in verse 6, all mankind will see God's salvation. Jesus is God's salvation. And where can we go today and see Jesus? You know, on that first Christmas Eve, the shepherds found Jesus in an unusual place. He was not living in a palace. He was not sitting on a throne. He was laying in a manger in a humble stable. Today, if you want to see God's salvation, if you want to see Jesus, you will find him in humble places. He is here in the humble word of God. Jesus as salvation. You will find Jesus in the humble ordinance of baptism. When we watch a person being baptized, we can see the changes wrought in his or her life. We are seeing God's salvation being given. Jesus is working in such person's heart, changing him or her, giving him or her a second chance, giving him and her faith, and giving him and her forgiveness for sins. That's God's salvation. Jesus is found in the observance and ordinance of the Lord's Supper. In the humble bread and cup, we find the gift of salvation, the body and blood of Jesus broken and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And if we don't remember that at this time of the year, then I think we have missed a golden opportunity. What better time, even with all the holiday and the cooking and the presents wrapping and Santa Claus, we can coexist with that. We don't have to shut that out of our lives to be good Christians. But we have to set our priorities. We have to know who comes first in our life. And it's not Santa Claus. It's not our grandchildren. It's not our children. It's not our spouse. It's Jesus. God's gift of salvation to us. And once we learn that, once we make that step and we confess our sins and repent, then things will run along much more smoothly. We'll still have those little bumps and hurdles and those big bumps and hurdles in the road. But what a great opportunity to reflect this time of the year on that gift of salvation that God has given us. Are you ready for Christmas this year? More importantly, are you ready for Christ this year? Are you ready to celebrate his first coming as we have been doing this month? And we'll certainly observe that hopefully on Tuesday. Are you ready to receive him when he comes again in all of his glory? And friends, if you never believed anything else I said, believe this: Jesus is coming again. And we don't know when, but he's not coming as a gentle baby. He is coming as a conquering warrior, as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we better be ready when he comes, because we won't get a second chance. We will be left behind. If you listen closely over the songs about Rudolph and Winter Wonderland and all that, you can hear the voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord." This is the message of the Advent. Repent of your sins. Even if you have been saved and are a believer and a follower, you can't just willy-nilly go back to the lifestyle you had before you were saved and still expect God to look favorably upon you. You need to confess those. And if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, that is the first step. Confessing your sins, asking for his forgiveness, and he will give it to you. Let Jesus take away your sins, and change the direction of your life. What a wonderful, wonderful gift that would be to receive this year. Let him prepare for you for the day when you will see him, not in a Christmas card, not in a manger scene, but let him prepare you for the day you will see him face to face. We give you that opportunity this morning, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, to come forward and do so as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 100, Angels We Have Heard on High.